Hey, true crime fans. Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. After all, ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreetruecrime. That's amazon.com/adfreetruecrime to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play in episode 2 of Casey Anthony, Truth and Lies. In episode 1, we introduced you to Rob Dick, who will be working with us on this season. We heard trial evidence from Casey's former boyfriend, Tony Lazzaro, describing how he met Casey less than a month before Kaylee disappeared, and how she stayed at his home every night from the 16th of June 2008, the last day that Kaylee was seen alive. If you already haven't listened to episode 1, I'd recommend going back and listening to that first.
During the trial, Tony told the court that on the 17th of June, he played hooky from his studies, and him and Casey had spent the day in bed. So, the morning after Casey and Kaylee left George and Cindy Anthony's home, Casey stayed at Tony's alone. There was no sign of Kaylee.
Didn't feel like leaving bed.
Didn't feel like what?
Didn't feel like leaving my bed.
You'd rather spend your day with Casey?
Yes.
You spend the entire day and night with her on the 17th?
Yes, sir.
How about June 18th? Did you spend the day with her then?
I probably went to class.
Okay. When you went to class, what was your understanding about what the defendant was doing?
She'd either go to school, go see Kaylee, or whatever she would do. She's a free woman.
Did you say she went to school?
Free. What? She would go to work. She would, wherever she would have to go.
Did she tell you where she had to go?
Not that I can remember. It was just a known fact of where she would go. It's an assumption.
Again, you were understanding she had a job.
I would understand that she had a job, yes.
One of George and Cindy's neighbors, Brian, gave a statement to the police that on the 18th of June 2008, 2 days after Kaylee was last seen, he had lent Casey a shovel.
7:30, 2008, Corporal Eric Edwards, Orange County Sheriff's Office.
Homicide unit in the room with
Detective Mike Erickson of the homicide unit.
And
Brian Berner.
Mr. Berner, you've come here voluntarily today to assist us in follow-up and helping us create our timeline on Kaylee's disappearance, and I greatly appreciate that.
The detective goes through some background information with Brian before they start asking questions.
How long have you known Casey?
Almost 3 years.
And you've probably seen her face to face?
Yes, spoken with her.
Numerous times?
Yeah.
Okay, and what I'm ruling out there is a need to do a photo lineup.
Nah, no need.
Okay, you know her. The baby. You've known the baby since it was born.
Since birth.
As far as seeing it, because she's lived there next door to you for that period of time?
I was doing my yard work and I was in front. I had already mowed. I was using a weed blower and blowing off the grass. And Casey had approached me and asked me if she could borrow a shovel. She knew needed to dig up a bamboo root she'd been tripping over.
What time of day was this?
Approximately 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
I proceeded to walk around my house to my shed and gave her a shovel I had. And then I followed her back out front, and she walked into her garage. And at that point, her car was backed in. I didn't see her back in, but it was already backed in, and their garage door was open. She walked into the garage, and I proceeded to finish blowing off the grass clippings, and then went to the rear of my yard and blew off the grass clippings, at which point then I walked back out the front to see by chance maybe she was coming back with the shovel, and I could see the garage was still open and the car was still there. So I proceeded to lock my gate and my shed and then went into my house and told my son that Casey had borrowed a shovel, and my children don't generally open the door, so I said I need to take a shower. So if someone knocks at the door and you can see it's Casey, go ahead and open the door and get the shovel from her.
Okay, so you finished your shower.
Finished my shower, it was right around 2 o'clock, and I came out of my bedroom and asked my son if Casey had came back, and he said no. So okay, so I just proceeded to watch TV, and then it was approximately around 2:30 when Casey knocked at the door returning the shovel.
And from Appy's interview the first time, they had already asked you about her clothing and if it appeared that she had changed clothing.
Didn't appear that she changed any clothing.
Very, she didn't, very calm, you said?
Calm, right? Just normal Kaylee.
No sweat
Casey,
on brow?
Normal Casey.
Yeah. No sweat on brow?
No sweat. She didn't appear to be muddy, or the shovel wasn't even muddy.
But you do say you recall seeing a ring. Dirt mark on the shovel.
Dirt mark, which may have been there before.
Okay, so the shovel may have not even been utilized, above and beyond where you utilized it in the past.
Right.
Okay. Nothing that stands out like sopping mud or big. Okay. It was clean enough to carry from your foyer into the garage without making a mess.
So, why did Casey need a shovel? Was it to dig up the bamboo, as she said? Or was it to bury Kaylee? Also, why not use her parents' shovel? It would seem unusual that they didn't have one. We are moving on to the next day, the 19th of June, 2008. Tony's lease was coming to an end, and he was looking for a new apartment to move to. Here is an excerpt from the trial.
Directing your attention to June 19th, did you go looking for an apartment on that date?
Yes, sir.
Did you go with the defendant?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember what apartment you went to look at?
Overall at this point. The place that I originally, where I potentially moved into, Crane's Landing.
Where is that in relation to where you were living at the time? Is it close?
Yes.
How close?
Around the block, basically.
Okay. And when you went to check out this apartment, who were you planning on living with?
Nathan Lesnovich and my friend Brian.
When you went to check out this apartment, did you bring the defendant with you?
Yes.
Did you both look at the apartment?
No, I did.
Tony was then asked what his understanding was of Casey's living arrangements.
She was living at home.
Did she at this time give you any indication that she was not going to be living at home?
Yes, she was always talking about her and Amy was going to get the Anthony's home because they were going to move out, or they were going to go get themselves their own apartment.
Just to clarify, Amy was one of Casey's friends. The following day, Tony and Casey go to Fusion, which was a club that Tony frequented for his hip-hop showcases.
June 20th. Did you go to Fusion again that night?
Yes, sir.
Is this another hip-hop showcase?
Yes.
And again, this is something that you promoted?
Yes, sir.
Did the defendant go with you?
Yes, sir.
During this hip-hop showcase, did anything different happen than happened the last time?
Yes. 20th, there was a hot body contest that happened.
Was the hot body contest something that had been promoted beforehand?
I can't recall if it was promoted beforehand, but it definitely was, I want to say, maybe a last-minute decision.
All right. And when you got there, what did... Were there enough people to have a hot body contest?
More or less.
At some point, was the defendant asked to participate in that contest?
Yes.
Who asked her to participate?
I wasn't present for it. I was actually notified by her that said she was going to do it. And I was like, oh, I guess, okay. If you want to do it, you want to do it.
Did you have any objections to that?
Portion to be stricken.
Asked the hearsay to be overruled.
Just testified as to information he was given.
Sir, who gave you that information?
Casey did.
Judge overruled.
She told you she was going to participate in this contest.
Yes, sir.
Did you have any objection to her doing so?
I can't recall. I maybe hesitated for a second, but I said, hey, if you want to do it, you want to do it, so...
Now, you were actually present for the contest, were you not?
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if we talked about this before, but since this is your showcase, what is your role?
My whole role that I took was basically making sure that nothing got out of hand. That was basically it. I made sure that, you know, no one was... harassing the bartenders, basically like head security, you want to say, more or less, of the night.
Did you entertain?
No, I did not.
So 4 days after Kaylee was last seen, Casey is out partying at Fusion and taking part in a hot body contest. There are some photographs online of this night. One shows Casey with dark bobbed hair, wearing a very low-cut, short blue dress, laughing as a man in a black and white striped shirt, holding a mic, stands to her side. And a young lady with dark blonde shoulder-length hair and a green boob tube embraces her from behind, holding her hands. The other photograph shows the two young women lounging on a dark blue suede couch with three young men who are all wearing jeans and black t-shirts, with DBC Entertainment on them. In both pictures, Casey looks like a young woman enjoying a fun-filled night out without a care in the world.
At any time during this night, did she ever tell you that her child was missing?
No, sir.
Had been kidnapped?
No, sir.
Was actively looking for her?
No, sir.
Asked you for help?
No.
Did she ever tell you during this night that she needed help?
No.
That something had happened to her?
Nope.
Next, we are moving to the 23rd of June, a week since Kaylee was last seen. George and Cindy haven't seen their grandchild for a week. Many people have asked why they didn't report her missing. So we asked Rob.
I think just real quick on that point, a lot of people hammer George and Cindy about that you're the grandparents, you were practically raising her, why didn't you call? People forget that Casey was an adult. There's not a lot they can do.
Right.
I mean, she's an adult, she's mom. If she wants to leave the house, take her kid and not come back for a week, that's her prerogative.
This is what Tony had to say about the events of the 23rd of June.
Directing your attention to June 23rd, was there a time during that particular date that the defendant notified you that she had run out of gas?
Yes, sir.
Approximately what time, if you recall, did she let you know this?
Mid-afternoon to late afternoon.
Were you in class or were you at home?
I was at home.
I'm sorry?
Home. I was at the department.
Had you been to class that morning?
Yes.
What do you recall her telling you when she called you?
That she ran out of gas and she needed to get picked up.
When she told you she ran out of gas, did she sound frantic?
No.
Scared?
No.
Worried?
No.
Angry?
No.
Okay. She just asked you for some help?
Yes, sir.
Did you have any problem giving her that help?
No.
What did you do?
I went to where she told me she was, and I picked her up.
All right. Where did she tell you she was?
That she was walking on, I can't remember the name of the road. It's the main road that is going south towards her house.
Okay. How long did it take you to get there?
I can't recall how long. Whatever it would take me from going from the apartment to that area.
Did you talk to her on the phone while you were going to meet her?
I would believe so. Yes.
When you picked her up, did she have... was she on the street?
Yes.
Did she have anything with her?
A backpack.
Was that a backpack that you had seen before?
I can't remember.
After picking her up, where did you go?
She said she had gas at her house.
At her house?
So we went to her house to get gas.
Had you ever been to her house before?
I don't think so. No.
Did she direct you on how to get there?
Yes.
When you got there, where did you park?
In the driveway.
You were driving your Jeep?
Yes, sir.
When you got there, were there any other cars in the driveway?
No.
Upon getting out of the car, where did you go?
To her backyard.
Did you ever go into the garage?
Yes.
Did you go to the garage before you went to the side of the house?
Yes.
How did you get into the garage?
She opened it.
How did she open it?
I believe she had a keypad or a garage opener. I can't remember.
When the garage door opened, were there any other cars in the garage?
No.
Did you go into the Anthony home?
If I went through the garage, I can't remember if there was a door to the backyard or if you had to go through the house to get to the backyard. Either way, we went to the backyard.
All right, I understand you went to the backyard. I'm asking you if you recall ever walking or being inside of the Anthony home.
No, I don't recall.
All right. You went to the side of the house.
Yes.
Where did you go?
To a shed.
And when you got to the shed, what did you do?
We had to open up the shed because the shed, that's where the gas cans were. So, and there was a lock.
Did you use a key?
No, she said she didn't have a key, so we had to break the lock.
How did you break the lock?
With a tire iron from my truck.
Were you concerned about doing this at all?
Yes, I was.
What did you say?
I was like, "You sure you want me to break the lock?" And she was like, "Yeah, you know, it's okay. You know, it's my shed." So,
Did you suggest to the defendant that maybe she could call her mom or dad?
Ms. Stein, rephrase the question.
Sure. Did you suggest any other alternatives other than breaking the lock on the shed?
No, I believed her. I believed her word.
So you got a tire iron out of your car?
Yes, sir.
Were you the one that actually broke the lock?
Yes, sir.
How many gas cans did you take out of the shed?
Two.
The gas cans that you took, did they have gas in them?
Yes.
And what did you do with those gas cans after taking them from the shed?
Grabbed the gas cans, put it in my truck, and then she directed me to where her car was.
When you got to where her car was, did you give her the gas cans?
We took them out, yes.
Right. Who put the gas into the car?
Casey did.
After she put the gas in the car, what did she do with the gas cans?
She put them in the trunk.
And again, what kind of car did she have at this time?
Pontiac.
White?
White.
All right. You saw her put the gas cans in the trunk?
Yes.
When she opened the trunk, could you see inside of it?
No.
From there, where did you all go?
back to my apartment.
Casey Anthony spoke with her mother about 5:30 that afternoon and now adds another detail. Zanny was in a hospital in Tampa because she was in an accident on I-4, and that Kaylee is with Juliet and Annabelle at a hotel while Casey Anthony tends to Zanny at this hospital in Tampa. You will hear, and we know from Casey Anthony's cell phone records, she wasn't in Tampa. She was at her dad's house, taking his gas cans with her boyfriend. And the transcript goes on to describe what happened the following day. Day 9, Tuesday, June 24th. George Anthony decides he's going to mow the lawn. He goes to a shed where he keeps his gas can and his lawnmower, and he sees that the lock is broken. So George Anthony contacts the Orange County Sheriff's Office that somebody broke into his shed, and he fills out a statement for a deputy that came, goes and tells the neighbor, Brian Berner, or Brian Berner's son, that there's a vandal. There's somebody stealing things in the neighborhood, basically. While George Anthony may have normally been at work that day, he ended up having another interview for a security job at 6:30 that evening, so he was at home. And at 2:30, Casey Anthony showed up. No Kaylee, no Tony, just Casey in her white Pontiac Sunfire. Her dad is happy to see her, wants to know where Kaylee is. Tells Casey, I miss Kaylee. Where is she? I'd like to see that little girl. We miss her. And Casey Anthony dismissively says, I have 10 minutes. I have to get back to work. George Anthony has an idea. The missing can may be in his daughter's possession. So he tells her he needs something from her car, and that he's going to go get it out of the trunk. At which point she brushes past him, goes to the trunk of the car, takes out the gas cans, throws them or pushes them in his direction, and says, here's your fucking cans, gets in her car, and leaves. Hey friends, shifting my wardrobe from summer to fall is always a challenge. Luckily, Quince offers timeless, high-quality items that makes this transition smooth, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh without blowing my budget. Whether it's cashmere sweaters starting at just $50, versatile pants for every occasion, or their luxurious washable silk tops, Quince has everything I need. Right now, I'm wearing the Flowknit Breeze Performance Polo in Heather Sky Blue. I've been dressing business casual a lot lately, and I have to say, this polo is by far one of the best I've ever owned. Not only is it incredibly stylish, but it's also super comfortable, and the price is unbeatable. The material breathes so much better than those stuffy polos, and it looks perfectly professional. It's truly a game changer in my wardrobe. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the middleman, passing the savings on to us. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/shane for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shane to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shane.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
A few days later, the 27th of June, 2008, Tony gets another call from Casey. The car has broken down. Tony goes to collect her after Casey refuses to help to try to fix it. they leave the car in the parking lot at an Amscot on University Boulevard in Orlando, next to a dumpster. Casey says her father will deal with it. Rob tells us his thoughts on what happened on the 27th of June.
Next to a dumpster. That's a check cashing. The belief, at least I believe, is that at that point in time on the 27th, when she did that, her car smelled horrific. She couldn't take it back to the apartment complex, which leads me to believe that that was around the time that she had dumped Kaylee and created this enormous smell. And so she's got to dump the car. And okay, I ran out of gas. She'd run out of gas the Monday before that. And she was always running out of gas. The only thing that was kind of weird was is her boyfriend said, well, okay, you ran out of gas. Let's go get some gas. She said, no, there must be some problem. My dad's going to pick up the car. And so that's how the car stayed there. And then she went with him. And then it ends up getting towed within 24 hours.
As Rob alludes here, on the 30th of June, Casey's car gets towed after it's reported abandoned.
Casey's parents are frantic at not being able to see Kaylee. She has always lived with them, and they miss her terribly. Cindy calls Casey multiple times a day, asking where Kaylee is and when they can see her. And Casey keeps fobbing her parents off, saying Kaylee is with the nanny, then that they are in Jacksonville, then that they are visiting Universal Studios. The lies just keep on coming. In the meantime, Casey is out shopping with friends, going to parties, and enjoying being a young 22-year-old woman without a care in the world. It's now 30 days since George and Cindy last saw Kaylee.
It's Tuesday, the 15th of July, 2008. The previous day, George and Cindy were doing some yard work, and they noticed a letter in their front door, a door they never use. It was a card to go to the post office and retrieve an item. So on the morning of the 15th, George headed to the post office and retrieved a letter from Johnson's Wreckers to say that they had the white Pontiac Sunfire. This is the car that Casey had abandoned in the parking lot 2 weeks before. But as it was registered to George, the company had tracked him down. Again, from the court transcripts. So George and Cindy Anthony drive to Johnson's Wrecker. And while Miss Anthony deals with people at the front desk, George Anthony goes with an individual by the name of Simon Birch to retrieve the car. On the way, George Anthony is telling Mr. Birch of these problems that the family is having, that he hasn't seen his granddaughter or his daughter for days. And as they approach the vehicle, an overwhelming smell is emanating from it, and it's coming from the trunk. George Anthony will tell you that he said a silent prayer that it was neither his daughter nor his granddaughter that he would find in the trunk of that car. The trunk is opened, and there is a bag of garbage there, which Simon takes and disposes of. George drives the car now. The transcript goes on to say, when Cindy Anthony had her first contact with the car, her words to George Anthony were, "Jesus, what died?" At which point her husband proceeded to tell her that there had been garbage in it.
Cindy and George put the car in the garage at home to air and both head off to work. Rob Dick told us that this was just one of the lucky breaks that Casey had.
I guess I would say is that there was so many little lucky breaks, I guess, for her case that kind of helped her out, were things like, so the car is towed. Well, the tow company, they have a process where they notify the registered owner. Cindy and George were still the registered owner. So when they send out that letter, that certified letter gets taped to the front door by the mailman. And they don't go through their front door. They go through the garage. So it's days later before they even find out about it. So they don't go to pick it up until later. So when you have that smell in that heat to where the tow company smells it when they first towed it to their lot, now basically baking until they're there, it's horrible. And when they walk up, George being an ex-cop, he knows that smell. He actually made the comment to the employee saying, boy, I hope my daughter or my granddaughter isn't in there because it smells like someone's dead.
Yeah.
And then the trunk opens because he's actually kind of worried at that point. He opens the trunk. He sees nothing in there. That's when that garbage bag scene. And so the tow employee goes, oh, it must just be this. And they grab the garbage and throw it out. So then George has to drive the car home. He's got all the windows down. It's a horrific smell. He pulls it in. They're both concerned about this. I mean, obviously they know they've spoken with Casey over those 31 days, but no one's ever heard from Kaylee.
When Cindy returned to work, she told her workmates what had happened, and they convinced her that she needs to call the police. Cindy texts Casey, but gets no response. Cindy doesn't know where Casey is, or how to get a hold of her, but thinks there might be some clues in the car they have collected from the compound. So she searches it, and finds Kaylee's car seat, Kaylee's shoes, some of Kaylee's clothes, dryer sheets, and a bag of garbage. She goes through the garbage and finds contact information for Amy, a friend of Casey's. She calls her and asks if she has seen Casey or Kaylee. And she is in luck, because Amy has lent Casey her car just a few days earlier, when she was out of town, and had dropped Casey off at Tony's on her return.
George had started a new job. Cindy really controls that house. And so Cindy's like, George, can't be late. This is a job. Just go. Go to work. I'll take care of it. He went to work. She's searching through the car, trying to clean it out a little bit, trying to clean the smell out or whatever, and find any kind of clues. And that's when she finds the bag with Amy's information, a resume and stuff. And that's her friend who she contacts. And basically confronts her, and Amy takes her to the boy. Yeah, apparently they were smoking marijuana, and she's kind of, you know, what's going on? Where's Kaylee? Cindy's demanding to Casey, you're getting in the car, we're leaving right now. And she actually left her stuff back there and just went with Cindy, got in the car. And you can only imagine they're arguing.
The court transcript says, quote, Amy goes up to the door with Cindy behind her, knocks on it, and gets Casey Anthony out of there. Kaylee Anthony's not there. End quote. Cindy is done with playing games. It's time that Casey tells them what is going on. Thank you for listening to episode 2 of our series Casey Anthony, Truth or Lies, Playing Games. In episode 3...
There's something wrong. I found my daughter's car today, and it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car.
Okay, what is the 3-year-old's name?
Kaylee. C-A-Y-L-E-E. Anthony.
Kaylee Anthony?
Yes. George Kaylee is missing. Kaylee says Danny took her a month ago. She's been missing for a month.
Can you calm down for me for just a minute? And just, I need to know what's going on, okay? Is your daughter there?
Yes.
Can I speak with her? Do you mind if I speak with her? Thank you.
Hey, is there a sheriff's
department?
They want to talk to you.
Answer
the question.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Well, can you tell me what's going on a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me a little bit what's going on?
My daughter's been missing for the last 31 days.
And you know who has her?
I know who has her. I tried to contact her. I actually received a phone call today now from a number that is no longer in service. I did get to speak to my daughter for about a minute.
Okay. And you last saw her a month ago?
31 days. It's been 31 days.
Who has her? Do you have a name?
Her name is Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez.
Who is that? Babysitter?
She's been my nanny for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Why are you calling now? Why didn't you call 31 days ago?
I've been looking for her and have gone through other resources to try to find her, which was stupid.
Okay. Can you give me the name of the nanny again? Like, spell it out for me.
Zenaida. Z-E-N-A-I-D-A.
Last name?
Fernandez.
Fernandez?
Hyphen Gonzalez. I think the officers are here.
Save big money on all your projects at Menards. Water seeping into your cracks in your concrete can cause costly damage over time. Keep water out and extend the life of your concrete with a tube of ready-to-use concrete repair. It's commercial grade, durable, flexible, and works great for gaps and cracks up to 3/8 inch. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself, like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp online therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.